Blog Talk Radio.
Let's sing thankful.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I will yet praise the Lord in the midst of the things that are happening in this world. Welcome to They Overcame. We are here to give God all of the honor and all of the glory that is due his name. I will bless the Lord at all times, and his praises shall continually be in my mouth. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. Amen, amen, amen. Well, we are your hosts, Albert and Billy Burns. We are here on They Overcame to give God glory and honor. Hallelujah. We're just so happy to be here. Say good morning to our audience, Dave.
Good morning, and God bless everybody. It's just good to be in the presence of the Lord again. It's good to be in the land of the living. It's good to be sharing this time with you, just to bask in the blessings of our Lord God, because he's done so much. Amen.
Amen, amen. Yes, he has. Yes, he has. In the midst of the things that are happening in the world, and you know, the tragedies, the blessings, God is still worthy. Hallelujah. He's worthy of all the praise, all the honor, and all the glory. And babe, you want to open us up with prayer?
Amen. Father, in the name of Jesus, we love you. Thank you. Thank you. We give you honor. But you are worthy. You are the only one that has created us for time, for our bounds. Have us, help us. Lord God, for a time full of you, and we just think with man. Would you have to go, but don't you? Lord God, we are the sheep of your pasture. We know that you care about you. Father, in the name of Jesus, we pray your blessing about you, that the words be spilling, the hope, that your words show to hallelujah, how to turn to you, the name. Deliverance, we broken hope, broken hearts, Lord God, and relationship, Lord God, allowed to realize of their need you, Lord God, and to stand down this Lord God, realize their need for each other, Lord God, they were in unity, seeks you in the name of Jesus. Father, we pray for all kinds of things. You are the healer. You are the giver of life. Now, Lord God, just decree upon everyone that this today. The holy divine help that you walk in divine health, that you would get to be healed, that you would get to do the thing that will cause you to walk. Health, God, to do those, to eat right, to exercise, to do all those things that you know, to heal yourself, allow yourself, your body, to rest, to Lord God, to be restful, with a good appetite and diet, decrease right now, deliverance from addiction. Happens for God that addiction fiddle to my health. In the name of Jesus, do we know, Lord God, that we can take part in our health, that we can take part in our spirit, Lord God, give us a mind to do those things that we need to keep for eternity, to enjoy good health, that we will live long, Lord God, to spread your word everywhere that we go. In the name of Jesus, that we will be strong. Lord, hallelujah. Be like the children of Israel back in the day which is found barren and called up because they walked in the days of hell. In the name of Jesus, we just pray that over our list of targets today. Hallelujah. And look forward to the test of souls. Hallelujah. On into recession and into heaven first. And just gone away in the name of Jesus. Thank you. Praise you. Bless our overall host, Lord God. Just bless her ministry, Lord God. The church as it grows there, Lord God, give her strength and help. In the name of Jesus, thank you. As all the counting to the done, because we know the word Jesus.
Amen. Well, I don't know. Are you hearing me clear, babe? Because I didn't hear you really clear. You were kind of going in and out, fading in and out.
Yes.
Amen. Well, we are so blessed to be here, despite any issues that we might be facing, despite any problems that are going on in our lives. We are here to give God all the praise, all the honor, and all the glory that is due His name. And I keep saying that because I believe that God is worthy of issues that we face. My husband and our church actually has been assisting this family that are homeless, a husband, wife, and three small children. And we've had some up times and we've had some down times, but we still believe God, and we know that He's going to work everything out for their good and for His glory. Hallelujah. Well, my husband is going to be giving us a few words of inspiration, talking about a radical Jesus. And we have to be radical, especially in these times that we're living in now. We have to have radical faith. We have to believe despite what we see, despite what we hear, despite what's going on, even in our own families and bodies, to believe that Jesus is the Savior of the world. He's the Redeemer of the world. For anyone that accepts Him, you will be saved despite the issues. Hallelujah. Well, we just have one caller on the line. We're going to open up his line. This is my dear cousin, and I thank God for him coming on and giving us, well, just sharing with us, just being supportive and coming on. Babe, I can't. I'm having issues, so could you open up his line, please? Are you there, Jimmy?
Good morning, cousin.
Good morning.
How are you all?
We're good. How are you?
Good. I'm fine, thank you. When Al was giving the prayer, everything, you know, it was all choppy. So, I you know, it was coming out choppy in bits and pieces, yeah. But despite that, I'm glad to hear your voice. Last two Saturdays, I overslept, and this morning I woke up early, thinking that I was oversleeping, and it was like 6:15. You know, so I like, okay, well, at least I'll be awake and able to call in.
Amen.
But,
amen.
I'm glad that we still have this medium, you know, because of so much things, so many things happening around us today, you know.
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, it's good to have faith and prayer, and I've definitely been doing a lot of that.
Yeah, we have to believe God. We have to, despite the issues that are going around, despite the issues that you may be facing in your life, God is still in control, and I adopted that. I adopted that way of thinking, even though I know that God is in control. Sometimes we the things that we go through in our life makes us, well, not necessarily doubt, but just be, I guess, fearful is the word that, you know, that we have. But God is still in control despite what's happening. And that's the faith that he wants us to have in him, that he's going to work it out. Sometimes we don't like the way that he works things out. Sometimes we, you know, don't like the fact that our family members, our loved ones have to leave us. And sometimes they get sick, and sometimes they go to jail, and sometimes they get into car accidents, and, you know, but God is still in control. And that's what we have to remember. That's what we have to depend on. That's what we have to believe, that God is in control. He's in control, and the enemy wants us to, that's the one thing that he wants to take from us is our faith. The Bible says when Jesus returns, will he find faith in the land? Will he find, will he be able to find people that are still believing and still trusting? Will he be able to find people that are still holding up, as the old saints used to say, the blood-stained banner, hallelujah, of our belief in Christ? He's in control. And when we learn how to totally turn that control over to him, then we will be able to rest. We will be able to rest, and we will be able to believe that he is, and he is a rewarder of them who diligently seek him. I know that there's a time that we, in prayer, and the enemy, again, that is his fight to take that away from us, because he knows how powerful that is. Prayer is powerful, so I'm glad, cousin, to hear, you know, that you are yet praying and believing God. And there's two parts to prayer. There's the part where you pray, but then there's a part that you believe. And when we pray, we have to believe that God hears us. And we have to believe that he's going to work things out for our good. Even when we don't like maybe what's happening, we don't like maybe the things that, the way he's working it out for us. I know that I've been in that place where I said, well, you know, suppose God doesn't work it out the way that I want him to work it out. Like, but he knows best. He knows best. He knows exactly what we need, and he knows how to give us what we need. We just have to trust him. We have to trust him, and we have to believe that he's going to work it out for our good. So, amen, amen. Do you have a special praise or testimony that you would like to share with us this morning, Jim?
Well, it's yeah, I guess I do. You know, I was, you know, worrying about a situation here at the house, and I was worried about the two trees, you know, those two blue spruce Christmas trees in the front. And the trees are so low, you couldn't see on the street. And so that would be, you know, that's like a safety measure. I mean, you can't, you know, you don't know what's on the other side of that, those trees, because you can't see out there. And who's to say what they're doing, you know? So I was worried about getting those cut and how much it would cost, you know. I only have so much money. I didn't know if I could afford it or not. And the bushes here, right at the house, they were, you know, real high, and you couldn't see, you know, past them because it blocked your view. And so, you know, anything can happen. Somebody could be standing on the side of the bush and you walking up, and then they jump out and whatever. So I was talking to my neighbor, Ms. Voss, and she was telling me she felt the same way. You know, I mean, we still feel a little safe, but there's always the possibility of, you know, that unfortunate incident happening, you know, where somebody could be raped or stuck up or whatever. And so she told me about these Hispanic people that she has spoken to. So she said, well, I'll call them and I'll have them to come over to your house and talk to you. So I said, okay. So they were scheduled to come one day, and they didn't come. So she said, well, maybe something happened. And I said, yeah, it's a possibility, you know. And so he did come the next day, and I spoke to him. And so the following Monday, which was this past Monday, he came. No, I'm sorry. He was supposed to come, but he didn't come. He said something came up. So the next day, Tuesday, he came, and he gave me a price, and the price was real affordable. He charged me $150 to cut all the evergreens in front of the house and the two Christmas blue spruce Christmas trees for $150, and clean up and take it away. So I'm like, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. So
and everything, because, give thanks to the Lord.
Yes, yes, yes. Yes, indeed. And so I'm just saying, you know, if I had not been praying, you know, praying for that, praying on that, and had that faith, because I didn't know where it was going to come from. I didn't know how much it was going to cost. I didn't know where I was going to get the service from, affordable. But with that prayer and that faith, it all worked out. Jesus worked it out, you know.
Yes, he will. And you know, sometimes we think that God is not concerned about us holistically. The Bible says that he is concerned about the things that you're concerned about.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's a total God to a total man. He's not, you know, he's just not the God for the spiritual. He's concerned about everything that we're concerned about. So we just praise God that you were able, and I, of course, know those trees that you're talking about, and they were quite massive.
Yeah.
And thank God that they are taken care of now. The smallest things God is concerned about.
Right.
So we just thank God for that testimony. I say no testimony is too small or no testimony is too big on the broadcast, because God he works in a lot of ways in our lives, and sometimes when you verbalize it, when you put it out there, and you can say, well, this is the love of God, you know, this God worked this situation out for me. It's a good thing to give God praise. It's a good thing to honor Him and give Him praise. Amen.
Yeah. And then the other thing is, you know, there's been so many things that people have done to me, you know, and in my heart, I always forgave them. I mean, I still had a anger there, but as I forgave, you know, every time that anger would reduce. And every time I pray, I always say, I love and I forgive my enemies, you know, which helps me, you know, to become a better person. And at the same time, forgive myself, you know, because a lot of times we have parts in that too, you know. So we have to learn to forgive ourselves at the same time that we forgive our enemies, you know, love and forgive ourselves as we love and forgive our enemies. And the more that you do that, the easier it becomes, you know. A long time ago, I would wonder how a person, you know, you've heard on TV, in the media, where certain things happen to people where their son or their daughter was brutally murdered, and then the family goes to court and they say something to the offender, and they say, I forgive you. That takes a lot. It really takes a lot for someone to tell the offender that killed their loved ones that you forgive them.
Yes, it does.
It really does. So it goes right back to prayer and faith. You know, it all ties in together.
Yes, it does. It does. Like I said, we don't know how much pleases God. And people can't understand it, and I don't know where my husband is, but he's going to bring us a word today. We've been in a series at our church talking about the radicalness of Jesus and the things that he had done. And the question was posed, would Jesus be one that, if he were still walking the earth at this time, would he be one that we would be following? Would his radicalness be too much for us? Or, you know, like in the times that he was on the earth, a lot of the Pharisees and Sadducees couldn't get with him because he was so different from them. He was so radical, eating with the sinners and touching the lepers, and, you know, those are the things that were not supposed to be done, but he did them. He showed us a better way And would he be one that you would follow at this time? Or would he be one that would be taboo to be with?
I would. I mean, I know I would, because I've always said, you know, I wish Jesus was walking the earth, because it would make, for me, it would make things so easier for me, I mean, you know, in my life.
Lord, it wasn't easy. It wasn't easy for his disciples. It was, they were criticized all the time. They were not accepted.
Yeah.
They were, the things that we go through now are things that his disciples had. You know, they if you go against the status quo, then you are not one that is popular. Jesus
right.
was popular, but he was popular. People followed him, but they followed him because of the things that he was doing. So, but they followed him afar off. They didn't get close to him. They didn't get the full understanding of who he was until after his death, a lot of people. So I don't think it would be easier for us to follow him. I think it would be just as hard being able to stand up in these times and say the kingdom of God is not homosexuality. The kingdom of God is not prostitution. A lot of people I find these days live their lives the way that they choose to live their lives, and then because they put God in it, you know, actors and actresses and the artists get up and they'll say, you know, first honoring God and
yeah.
thanking God. And I think it was Jada Pinkett Smith that on one of the awards shows said, if you are not following Jesus here, you know, saying that, you know, that you are, because your life does not represent what you're saying right now. So a lot of people. Yeah, a lot of people claim to be following Christ, and I don't judge anybody. I say, if you say, you know, you're following Christ and your life does not look like it, it's up to God. All I can do is live my life in front of you, and it's up to God to correct you. It's not up to me to correct you. I know a lot of people in my church circle, or when I was, you know, living in Illinois, differ from that. They didn't you know, believe that. They said they were fruit inspecting, but I don't find fruit inspecting in the Bible.
mm-hmm.
And I know that's probably a lot of people are not going to like hearing me say that, but it's true anyway, regardless of how you, you know, feel about it. God did not call us to fruit inspecting this time. We will judge, and he tells us that. He tells us in his word that we're going to judge angels. So we're not, you know, he didn't call us to practice down here. So I don't practice. Now, that's me. I'll judge you if you do. That's me. I don't practice. fruit inspecting. Not that I haven't. I have given my opinion about what I think is godly. I don't judge my children these days. I say now they may not be living the way that I live. I won't say want them to live. I'll say they don't. They may not be living the way that I live, but their relationship has to be developed between themselves and God. So I don't want to. I don't want to be the one that says that you're not saved or you're not, you know, you're not following God. All I can say is, well, when I, you're back.
Yeah.
When I stand before God, and the Bible says that we stand alone. Nobody's going to be standing up there with us. Nobody's going to be, you know, nobody's going to be able I'm not going to be able to have an attorney to say, you know, what I did or what I didn't do. It's going to be me
right. And
my Savior there. So if you ask me a question, if you ask me, you know, I can tell you, or I can say this is what the Bible says. The Bible says this, but as far as me just judging you and saying, you know, that you're wrong or you're not living a godly life, I won't do that. I won't do that, so. Amen. Well, my honey is back. I didn't know that he was back in two parts of the different parts of the house. And so, in our big house.
Okay.
But anyway, honey, are you there?
Amen. Amen. Just enjoying the conversation about the goodness and faithfulness of God, and how we just, I don't know, as we live life, and we know that there are a lot of people that are just so judgmental about a lot of things. And I guess in some cases you can call it opinionated, and some cases you can call it just straight out being judgmental. But the thing that I just love about our God is that he's in control.
Mm-hmm.
Our Lord is not swayed by anybody's opinion, just by his own will. He told Moses, I am that I am. And in other words, there's no one else's opinion. There's no one else's help. There's no one help that's needed for how I, the creator of the world, am taking care of this world. This world is the Lord's. The psalmist says that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Everything that's in this earth is the Lord's. He knows it. He sees it. He has his concerns about things, but the Bible also goes on to let us know that his ways and our ways are totally different. Our ways are not his ways. His ways are so far above ours that we couldn't even measure the difference in where we are in our levels of knowledge or just how things should be. God is the one that knows. He's the one that's in control. He's the one that has just made everything, and everything was made by him. The Bible just says so much about who God is. There was nothing made that was made, it said, that he didn't make. So if it exists, God knows all about it. God knows all about every situation, every individual, every group, everything that's going on. God knows all about all of those things. So we just thank God for that, so that we don't have to worry ourselves with someone else's situation. We don't have to worry ourselves with whether somebody is saved or not. That's God's job.
We don't have to do that. We can just take care of ourselves. We don't have to worry about anybody else because God's got that. God's got our enemies. He's got our friends. He's got our loved ones. All we have to do is just put our trust in him, and he takes care of each and every one of us as because he knows us by name. He knows every one of us even before we were formed in our mother's womb. He knew all about us. He knew the stuff that you went through yesterday and the stuff that we're going to go through tomorrow before we were formed in our mother's womb. God already knew about it and has provision for it. And if we will just trust in him, there's nothing that we can't go through that he won't bring us out victorious. That's the God that we serve. And I just love that about him. And I've learned later here in my life that I can just rest in him and his power, and just we know that God is in control. And just looking forward to that great day when we can physically just sit at his feet. And the song says, our souls will look back and wonder. Our souls will look back in amazement. But then, you know what? It won't be such an amazement anymore because we will be in the presence of the power of God, and we will know. Paul says, today we know in part, but there's going to come a time when we'll just understand it all. So, it'll still be such an awesome thing to look back how that God so intricately brought every one of us through every situation, even to the point of blessing you yesterday or this week or whenever it was with the tree removal services, something that you thought was overwhelming, but God just made a way. And he does all of our lives like that in such a powerful way. And that's the God that we serve, and that's the God that I just want the world to know, that you can just rest on him. You've got a friend in Jesus, and there's not a better friend, a friend that sticks closer than a brother, a friend that is there through thick and thin, a friend that has declared because he is Lord and he is God, and he has declared his words to be true. They cannot be a lie. And he has declared that, lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. So that whatever you walk through, every storm, every valley, every mountain, every just whatever you're going through, he said, I'm there. I am there. I was just reading just a caption on Facebook this week where someone just declared that referencing the footprint in the sand painting that has been around for, I guess, a few decades anyway, and just praising God for even that one set of footprints, just referencing that all those times that God just carried us when we just couldn't carry ourselves. Knowing that, you know, God has, I was responding to a prayer request from one of our church members and just reminded them that as they went through what they were going through, that God let Paul know, and it applies to every one of us, that his grace is sufficient for us. No matter what the situation, the grace of God will take us through. And he went on even to say to Paul that mice will be made perfect in your weakness. So when we just get to that weakest point, then the full strength of God just kicks in and makes itself known to us and to the world. And that's the testimony. That's the testimony that we all have. And we just thank God for that.
Amen.
Amen. Well, we have our precious grandson with us this day, and requesting everybody, as if you're Facebook friends with me, you know that our youngest son, Jonathan, is attending law school, and he's in finals this week, so he's doing his finals. I think today he has a test, and just remember him in prayer. I think his last test is Tuesday, so remember him in prayer. But we're just, you know, so thankful to God how his life has been. All of our sons really have been God has given them favor. And, it's so strange, honey, when I think about being here in North Carolina, and we went from Markham, Illinois, which is a suburb of Chicago, to Georgia. We were there for almost 3 years to the date, and now we're here. Yeah, and now here we are in North Carolina, and the different cultures that we've experienced going from a predominantly black area, not predominantly, totally black. I don't think that there were any other races in our area, to a almost totally, well, I could say predominantly white area in Georgia. And now here we're in kind of a mixture of cultures here, and how it has shaped our son. And I'm thankful that God has taken us on this journey and with our children, for them to be able to experience different cultures. And I remember Christopher told us, when he was about 8 years old, that he wanted to experience all people. And so God heard him say that, and he's allowed him to be able to experience that, being able to be in a multicultural environment. And just so thankful to God for our sons. And we've been here going on 12 years. It'll be 12 years in June that we've been in North Carolina. It'll be 15 years that we left Illinois, and time has gone by so fast. But God has been faithful down through the years. And our son, Jonathan, who's in law school, he has been tremendously blessed. God gave him a talent for wrestling, and so he started his wrestling career when we were in Illinois, and he was successful there. He was a state champion in Illinois, and then we went to Georgia, and he was a state winner in Georgia, and then we came here, and he was a state winner in North Carolina. So he's a three-state champion, and we give the glory to God, because God gave him that talent. He gave him that determination, that winner's mentality. And through his wrestling, it has afforded him the opportunity to attend some really good schools. We lived in Cary, North Carolina, in one of the top wrestling schools, top academic school also, and then he attended free of charge for a school that is what, babe, like $11,000, $12,000 a year?
Yeah, around that, yeah.
Amen. Praise God.
From his 10th grade through his 12th grade. Well, his 12th grade, I think we had to pay, $1,000 for him to attend there. And then God connected him with people that pushed him and pushed us to explore schools outside of North Carolina, which I wasn't really that happy about that. But then he was able to attend Nebraska, the University of Nebraska, in Lincoln, Nebraska, for a year and a half. That didn't cost us anything. Then he finished his undergrad at University of North Carolina here in Chapel Hill, North Carolina. Didn't cost us anything. And now he is at North Carolina Central University, which was my desire for him to attend a historically black university. And that's what North Carolina Central University is, a historical black university. So, you know, our smallest prayers, our smallest desires, God is willing and able to do them for us.
Yes, God is good all the time.
Yes, he is. Yes, he is. And so we just thank God for the hand of God being on our son. And I'll give a testimony for the other boys at another time, but Jonathan has truly been blessed and favored by God.
Amen.
In every situation. I remember before he started his second semester of his first year, there was an issue with his money, getting his money. And we stood on the word of God. He called me and I said, babe, don't worry. God has you. God is going to work this thing out for you. And he did. After 0 hours. So we just have to trust and believe that God is going to work things out for us. Our motto for the broadcast is building faith one testimony at a time. So when you call in and give your testimonies about the things, no matter how small they are, give your testimony about the things that God is doing in your life, you don't know who it's helping. You don't know who needed to hear, you know, my child was struggling with financial aid and getting money so that they can continue their education. And now that I've heard Jonathan's story, his testimony, I know that God is going to work it out for my son, because I'm grabbing that and I'm believing that and I'm standing on what God did for Jonathan, he'll do for my child. Our testimonies are so vitally needed. Like breath, they're needed. people need to hear what God is doing so that they can go on and believe God. Well, babe, you want to give us a little snippet of your sermon about the radical Jesus?
Hey, man, I just, I don't know, I just felt like that what's been going on has been really kind of, well, not kind of, really of the Lord, just talking about how faithful he is. And, yes, our God, we serve a Savior who, as our series of sermons at our church has been saying, we've been talking about, it's a series called Jesus Is, and it kind of started off with a survey of, or a question, or one of those fill in the blank. Jesus is, and what's the first thing that comes to your mind? And you know, we start off with a video that just shows all these different things that people say that Jesus is. Some referring to just his lordship, some referring to his character. And one of the things that filled in that blank was the word radical, because as we look back at just how Jesus lived and how Jesus operated his ministry here on earth, it was totally, that almost sounds like a young person's statement from maybe a few years ago, totally radical, but not just an expression, but the way that Jesus was and is. And the scripture that we looked at was in Luke, the 5th chapter, and this is just showing one of the many ways that Jesus showed how radical he was. But Jesus had just recently called Matthew as a disciple. His name was actually Levi, and we know him as Matthew, who was the, when you look at the books of the Bible, courted, or in that order that in the Bible, table of contents, is Matthew. Well, that's Levi. But the thing about Levi was, is that he was a tax collector. And a tax collector was an outcast among the Jews. He was a Jew, but he was outcast among the Jews because of his occupation. At that time, the Romans were, the Jews were under the governance or the government of the Roman Empire, and they taxed the Jews. Well, any government taxes people. But, and just like even today, people aren't happy about the tax structure, how taxes go. The poor are not happy that they have to give up so much of their hard-earned and much-needed money goes to taxes as opposed to a roof over their head and clothes on their back and food for their family, gas for their car, if they are able to have a car. And if the taxes were less, then we know that the poor can have more. And then there's the what everyone sees as a disparity among how the poor pay such a big percentage of their dollars in taxes and the rich pay such a small percentage, and just the disparity there. So the whole thing about taxes has always been a big deal. Back in that early centuries of Jewish civilization, it was a big deal. So the tax collectors were, for the Jews, were Jews that the Romans selected to be the ones to go out and collect the tax from their fellow Jewish citizens. And so they weren't received very well. They weren't liked at all. In fact, they were pretty much hated. And what even further, tax collectors were a very, very lucrative job. People became rich doing that because I don't know what the Romans paid them, but to make up for what they felt like they needed more, they could tell the citizens whatever they wanted to tell them as far as what their taxes were. So if they used the tables, as it were, and determined that they owe $100 in taxes, well, they could tell them that they owe $200 in taxes. And they had no recourse but to pay that $200. Well, then that tax collector was only responsible to turn in that $100. Well, the other $100 was his. And so, and they knew that this was going on. So they were just more hated and outcast among the Jews. Well, Jesus went one day to the tent of Levi, and he had already called a few of the disciples, Peter and James, and he got to Matthew or Levi. He just said, "Follow me." And the word of Jesus had already gone out. They knew who Jesus was, how awesome his ministry was. This was just totally just a man that had the whole area just in awe as well as an uproar. But when he came to Matthew, the Bible says that Levi left everything and followed him. Now keep in mind, this is a rich man, but he was so excited about his new life. I am now following Jesus. And he was so excited about his new life that he wanted to celebrate. He wanted to celebrate. And so he decided to have a celebration, a party, a dinner party, a feast at his home. Well, the problem with that is that Levi, and of course he invited Jesus and the other disciples, but the problem was that Levi, being an outcast in the Jewish society, didn't have friends in the mainstream Jewish society. So his other friends were other tax collectors, probably prostitutes and other what would consider to be rank sinners. And so those are the people that he could feel comfortable going to, that he probably had interactions with socially. So there is this gathering of this great feast and party, including Jesus and his other disciples, who the Jewish leaders already had a huge problem with, because he was just totally... He taught and he did things that were against their rules that they established, how they had fixed the religion of that day. Jesus was outside of that box totally. And so there they observed Jesus at this party, probably on one of their fast days. And so when they observed this, they came to Jesus and said, "Jesus, the disciples of John the Baptist, or John, they fast often and pray. And our disciples, the disciples of the followers of the Pharisees, also fast often and pray." He said, "But your disciples, they eat and drink." And they just kind of put that contrast out there. kind of probably followed up, if it were in today's time, would say, so Jesus, what's up with that? What do you have to say about that? Well, Jesus gave them a couple of very radical answers just to show who he was and what he was about. He said, can we make the guest fast while the bridegroom is here? And he made the example of a wedding, a Jewish wedding, something that they can all identify with. Because at a Jewish wedding, there was a feast, and the festivities of that feast lasted for 7 days. For 1 week, there was feasting. Two, it was such a high-level event that it lets us know that in that society, people around or that were involved in that at all could not, were not even allowed to do anything like fasting or anything sorrowful like that, because it was a festive occasion. And so Jesus was saying that the bridegroom is here. I am the bridegroom. And it is time now for feasting. It is time now for celebration. It's time for just a joyous living. There'll come a time when the bridegroom is taken away, and we do know that he was taken away physically. He was crucified. He died, but he rose again. But he did say, there's going to come a time when I'll be taken away, and then they'll be fasting. But for now, it's a celebration time. It's a time of joy. And Jesus was letting them know that I am the one, I am the Messiah, I am the Savior, I am the Son of God, I am the very God who has come to usher in a brand new way of living, a way of living that is so far above you guys and all of your over probably 1,000 rules and so on and so forth. I was looking earlier at preparing for something else, and it was found that there was a book written or just a whole tablet of rules just about the Sabbath day. And all of these things were not necessarily created by God. God just said that we should rest on the Sabbath day, that it should be kept holy. But they had all these pages and volumes of how the do's and don'ts of what to do on the Sabbath day. That's what they had done. They had created a religion that was so full of do's and don'ts, rules, that no one could follow. There was just more stress on trying to follow those rules than there was on what the rules were all about. But religion is not the answer. Religion is not the way. And as we discussed earlier in the broadcast, talking about people and being judgmental and looking at whatever they consider the sin to be. And we know that sin is sin. Wrong is wrong. The Bible does let us know in Romans that all have sinned and do come short of the glory of God. So the thing about sin is it's not our place to judge anybody. It's not our place, as you said, Billy, that if someone says that they're saying we have to just kind of, they have a relationship with God, then amen, and God knows all about them. I just believe that when we all get to heaven, there's going to be probably some of the biggest surprises on some of our faces. It, you know, if we were to recognize people when we get, some of us would just be shocked, in some cases, outraged and appalled even to see some people there. But the point is that there's a new way of living. There's a new radical way of living. Jimmy, you talked about earlier how you, as you pray, you just add, you just say, Lord, I forgive those of my enemies. And, you know, that's part of the radical way of living that Jesus ushered in. He gave a lot of examples of how we too should live radical for him. Speaking of these Romans, Jesus told stories, and as he talked on the Sermon on the Mount, he told them, said, it's not enough for us to be like everybody else, to love our enemy and to hate, or to love our friends and hate our enemies. So anybody can do that. But let me give you a radical way to live. This is how I live. He loved his enemies, even to the point that as he hanged there dying on the cross, one of his words before he gave up the ghost was, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what to do. He was doing it for everyone that was piercing him in the side, everyone that was shouting, crucify him, everyone that was, as they drove the nails in his hand and pushed the crown of thorns down on his head, and as they spat upon him and slapped him and scourged him, those that were applauding and enjoying, those that said, give us Barabbas and crucify this Jesus, for every one of them, Jesus was showing his love by opening his arms wide as he allowed them to crucify him. Because even one of the thieves, one of the crooks on the cross that hang there with them, he acknowledged. He said, I know that he could just call down help and he would be delivered. But Jesus was able, we know that he was able to call at that moment legions of angels that would deliver him, but he chose to die that we could have life. We, everyone that was his enemy. And then he gave an example. This is how you should live. I gave you the example. Now, this is how you should live, too. This is a radical way to live, a totally outside-the-box way to live. He said, so don't just love your friends and hate your enemies. Anybody can do that. But I say, love your enemies as well. And as he began to go on, he talked about the situation with the Roman soldiers. And in that day, there was they had a legal right to Roman citizens, especially the soldiers. They could find any of those Jews and require them to carry their load for them. But there was a law that said it could only be for up to 1 mile. Whatever that equivalent was, we call it a mile. But it said, when you are called on to carry it for 1 mile, he said, don't stop there. Go that mile and then offer to carry it for 2. And he said, if someone requires your coat or your cloak, he said, give them that and give them your coat also. And those are very radical, radical ways of living. So God has given us, through Jesus, who just lived such a radical life. He didn't do things conventionally. When he wasn't supposed to do anything on the Sabbath, but these were man-made rules that you can't heal on the Sabbath. But Jesus let them know, I am the Lord of the Sabbath. And on the Sabbath day, he reached out and healed. He would touch those that were untouchable. A man with leprosy that came to Jesus, it was unlawful for him, for anyone to touch him. It was unlawful for him to even be in proximity of someone. But Jesus went to him, and he laid hands on him, and he was healed. There was a woman that was taken in adultery that came, and Jesus knelt down and wrote something on the ground. And then just before that, he said, whoever's without sin, let him cast the first stone. And so every time they tried to tempt Jesus, he would give them such a radical, radical response. And they just couldn't do anything with them because he was laying the path of how we should live. Our life is not to be just caught up in just religious tradition. We know that some of us have grown up in churches that have different rules and different regulations and different dress codes, and so on and so forth. But Jesus came and he lived before us in such a radical way, and he gave us the liberty. When we receive the Spirit of Christ, when we reach out and say, Lord, I repent, and we reach out and say, Lord, you are my Savior. When he comes in, then he ushers in a freedom, a liberty. Who the Son has set free is free. Free from religion. Free from just those thought processes that don't have anything to do with salvation. There was a time that Jesus and his disciples were walking through the cornfield, and it was on the Sabbath day, and the disciples were hungry, and they took ears of corn and shucked them and pared them and began to eat them, and they were observed by the religious people. It was determined that there were about 3 or 4 Sabbath day rules in what they were doing because they were hungry. And Jesus let them know, first of all, look back. Look at David. And everybody can reference David. Every good Jew knew about David, a man after God's own heart. And he said, David and his men went into the temple and took the showbread, which was legal only for the priest, the high priest, to eat. But because they were hungry, David broke it and he gave it to his men, and they were filled. This thing is not just about keeping a bunch of rules, but it's more about ministering to one another, ministering to God, and even ministering to ourselves, ministering to one another. So we can't just lose focus. Jesus, and that was so radical for Jesus to declare that we have to not get lost in the rules of what Christianity is supposed to be about. But the real thing that it's about is glorifying God and having a relationship with our Savior, Jesus, who gives us all that we need. He gives us peace. He gives us joy. He gives us the natural provisions of life. And sometimes the things that we do, if we think that they don't line up with what the church has said, what we need to do is look back at the Word of God and just look at Jesus. Jesus was our example. Jesus strayed away often from the guidelines
of the religious people, but he went with what God wanted for us. And he showed us how we should live. And it's a radical thing to just follow Christ, who was the most radical man that ever lived. We gave some examples of all these different people that were considered radicals, and one of those prominent examples, Dr. Martin Luther King, who led, and we know the effect of what he did, of how radical he was. But all of these men, they pale in comparison to who Jesus was. Jesus is our radical Savior. Jesus wants the best for us. He wants us to live. He wants us to be free. He wants us to love life. He wants us to, we have reason to celebrate. I stated to the congregation that Christianity is not this thing where our faces become long. In fact, Jesus gave examples. He said, your fast is not, it shouldn't be like this, where you fast and then you tear up your face and you look just sad and crazy just so that the world will know that you're religiously fasting. But Jesus said, I came that you might have life, and that you might have it abundantly. And that abundantly just shows forth an exuberant, joyful life. We need to be rejoicing in the Lord. We need to be rejoicing in the God of our salvation. We need to be able to reach out. Jesus reached out to Levi, who was an outcast among society. He sat and had supper with the tax collectors and the prostitutes and just whoever would have an audience with Jesus. And we too have to be able to reach out just as Jesus did. We don't need to just limit ourselves to preaching and singing to one another, because we're already in the number. We are not the ones that need the physician, but we have to radically, just like Jesus, reach out and be among. And I know that's controversial in some of our church circles, but we have to go among to bring them into the kingdom. That's the radical Savior that we serve. And I guess if I could challenge somebody today, the challenge would be to not just be caught up in just following the rules of religion. That's not salvation. What salvation is through grace, through faith. And then we have a requirement to go into the highways and the hedges. We have a call to go into all the world. So that doesn't mean just go into our sanctuary on Sunday morning and on Wednesday nights for Bible study, or Tuesday night for missionary service or whatever. It means go into the high, go to where those people are. Go to their wedding. Celebrate with them. Go to their birthday parties. Celebrate with them. You don't have to do the things that they do, but go and be a light. Go and develop relationships and let your light shine, so that as those relationships develop and they run into when they realize their need they have a face of somebody to call. How many people do you think, we can't even imagine, that when time comes and they just kind of get to where they're reckoning with themselves and realize that they need hope, realize that they need Jesus, but they don't know how to get to Jesus, and they don't know who to call to talk them through. Well, if you had a relation, if you had had a relationship with them, if you had gone to had responded to some of those invitations, then guess whose face pops up in front of them? And they can just pick up the phone or knock on your door or see you at work the next day and say, I need to talk to you. But we set that up by leaving the bounds of religion, just like Jesus did. Just like Jesus did. So my challenge is to radically love, radically reach out, and just be radical for Jesus. And that's my word for today.
Amen. Yes. Our Lord and Savior was radical. And we have to be radical in our following him. We can't go with the status quo. But we have to be different. Amen. Thank you, baby, for that word. I enjoyed hearing it when you did the sermon at church last week. And again, I just thank God for you and thank God for just what he's doing in our lives. God is just a wonder. It's just a wonder. I don't have the website up, babe. So you want to open up Jim's line before we leave the broadcast today?
Amen, amen.
Are you there, Jim?
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
Or did you have anything you want to say before we end the broadcast?
Well, I just hope if the rest of this year is very, proof for us. Very success and healing for us as a people, because we just need, we need God in our lives.
Amen. Amen. Well, we thank God for the broadcast on today, and we just believe in God to work every situation out.
Amen.
Caller 870 is your first three numbers, and 0766. Are you there? Would you like to give a testimony, or your line is open? Amen. We thank you for joining us this morning, and we hope that something was said that would bless you and let you know that God is with you and God is always going to work things out for your good. Hallelujah. Well, we come to the end of the broadcast, and thank God for what our ears have heard. Babe, you want to end us with the benediction, which I was listening to Evangelist Cindy Trim, and she was saying that the benediction, we've known it to be the end of the service, but she said it's not the end, it's the beginning of something. The things that you've heard, now go out and apply them in your life. So, amen.
Amen. We just thank God for all that has transpired today. And we just look forward to just more and more of what God is going to continue to do for us. And we encourage everyone to just call in and tell your friends and neighbors, loved ones about this broadcast. And as you have things happen for you, and they have things happen for them, please invite them to call in and share with the rest of the world. And we say world because we know this broadcast does go out internationally, so that people all over the world can hear goodness of Jesus. And we'll just pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we love and we thank you for this day. We thank you for every word that was said. We thank you, Lord God, for every testimony. We thank you, Lord God, for every listener. We pray that you bless them. Lord God, supply all of their needs according to your riches in glory. Whatever situations they encounter now and the next time we meet, we just pray that you let your grace show forth upon them. And Father, we just thank you. We pray for this broadcast. We pray for New Destiny Ministries and Evangelist Pastor Bernard. And keep them in the name of Jesus. And we just ask you to be with us all in Jesus' name. And as we end, we just want you to know that the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit will be with you all in Jesus' name.